The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live bettings, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Ross. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Ross, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Yeah, it is, but it's just not any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Tuckheads Tuesday, and it's presented by DraftKings. As you can tell, my voice is a little bit dicey, so I'm trying to keep it low so I don't lose it. We'll have a new Spread the Word winner, sponsor confirmation email winner, YouTube shout out, all that stuff this week, but I'll save that for tomorrow. Patron of the day, Damon Lyons. Thank you, Damon. Patreon.com/RT Media. Very excited, even though my voice doesn't sound like it, for today's guest. Let's get right to him. It's Big Show time.
The Big Show.
So I've been wanting to talk to somebody about Super Bowl tickets. Really, tickets in general, but Super Bowl tickets in particular. So very pumped to have my guy Daniel Kaplan from The Athletic, who just wrote an article about Super Bowl tickets, which I just find the whole process to be very interesting. You can follow him, by the way, at Kaplan Sports Biz on Twitter, K-A-P-L-A-N Sports Biz on Twitter. Daniel, thank you so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, and I'm sorry you're fighting that cold there.
Yeah, you know what? When you have two sick daughters, it's like inevitable, bro.
It's like... I have older kids, and I remember those days when you were sick every other week.
Unreal. Let's just start with the process, Dan. So the stadium seats 70,000, whatever. Talk to me about how those tickets are allocated.
Sure. And it's been this way for a while with some tweaks along the way. But the two competing teams, in this case, obviously, the Chiefs and Eagles, they each get 17.5% of the tickets. So 35% there between the two teams. And they distribute the tickets the way they want, to friends and family, to sponsors, to VIPs, to their season ticket holders. They have to make that decision. The host team, in this case, the Arizona Cardinals, they get 5% of the tickets, and they distribute the tickets the same way. And one thing I should add is, under the collective bargaining agreement with the players, each player is allowed to buy a ticket, one ticket, at face value. So theoretically, that could be almost thousands of tickets. It's not, but it theoretically could be thousands of tickets distributed that way. Then the 29 other teams in the NFL get 1.2% of the tickets each. And then the number is 25.2% goes to the NFL, and they distribute that to sponsors, friends and families, media, those kinds of people.
Okay. So then how does the secondary market start to take place then?
Well,
all of that, what you just said, that's all face value, right?
It's all face value, and the tickets get distributed to brokers through their connections at the teams. The teams will put together packages. Some of the friends and family may sell the tickets on the secondary market. Some of the season ticket holders may sell the tickets on the secondary market. The NFL also has a relationship with a company called On Location, and they do hospitality events. They'll put together packages to events like the Final Four, the Super Bowl, the Masters, and the company that owns On Location is Endeavor, the agency, and they have a license with the NFL to get up to 20% of the Super Bowl tickets, and these are sold through, again, packages with hotels, events at the Super Bowl, tailgate parties, things like that. It's not an individual ticket. You have to have it packaged with the amenities I just described.
So this isn't the same at all like a concert where, like, you know how like the whole big Taylor Swift Ticketmaster thing? The Super Bowl's not like that, is it?
Super Bowl's not like that. You don't just call up Ticketmaster and get a ticket to the Super Bowl. It's just not enough inventory. As it turned out, there wasn't enough inventory for Taylor Swift also. But a few years ago, it was the Wild West. The brokers would get control of these tickets. They would put them on sale. Prices would rise. They would fall. It was hard to know how to get a Super Bowl ticket. A few years ago, the last time the Super Bowl was in Arizona, the brokers got caught in what was called a short squeeze. And I'll explain what that is. There'd been a pattern with the Super Bowl that when the two teams made it, the price would spike. People would rush in, buy it, and the tickets prices would then start to fall. And so the ticket brokers saw this, and they said, why don't we put the tickets on sale that we don't have right away? Fans will come in and pay, say, $4,000 for it. And then when it falls, we'll actually buy it at the $2,000, $3,000 price it falls to. And then give those tickets to the people who paid us $4,000 or $5,000 and pocket the difference as profit. Well, in 2015, with the game that the Seahawks and Patriots played, the price didn't fall. In fact, it spiked, and that's what was called a short squeeze occurred. And the brokers couldn't afford the tickets. And fans, if you remember the stories, fans got to the Super Bowl in 2015, and the tickets didn't materialize, and it was a whole fiasco. So the NFL, as a result, with On Location, decided to take control of more of the tickets, and they've basically put a floor on your Super Bowl tickets now, where it's you're not going to be able to get a ticket for less than $4,000 or $5,000.
When you sell a ticket at a profit, do you pay taxes on that?
You're supposed to pay taxes on it, and now that it's all digital. It's all mobile. It's hard to escape. When it was just a physical paper ticket and there was no evidence of the transaction, I guess you were on the honor system whether to pay taxes or not.
So, but there's no way to like track your social security number or anything, right? Like how would the authorities know?
Well, I'm not an expert on taxes, so I don't know how the IRS works. And from what the Democrats say, they're understaffed at the IRS. So I don't know if they could actually track it. But there would be a paper trail through mobile ticketing of these transactions. So you're running the risk, I suppose, that they could find this out, that you bought a ticket for $4,000 and sold it for $6,000.
Got it. All of this secondary market stuff is totally legal, right? Like back in the day when we were growing up, scalping was illegal. Like at what point did it go from being called scalping to being called the secondary market and go from illegal to legal?
I would say it was about 10 or 15 years ago that the state rules started to change and the technology got to the point where this was all possible. I mean, if you remember, there was a time when the Yankees were fighting StubHub, and the Yankees wouldn't let StubHub sell the tickets. And if you wanted to use StubHub to buy Yankee tickets, you had to show up at a StubHub location across the street from Yankee Stadium to pick up your tickets. So that's all changed. You can go to any platform and buy any ticket now. The teams, the leagues, the authorities, this is the way it is. You can buy a ticket, sell a ticket on almost any platform.
why doesn't the NFL just raise the face value? Like, if tickets don't go for any less than 5,000, I know face value's lower. So why don't they just make the face value 5,000?
You know, it's funny. I asked a secondary ticket guy that very question, and he was befuddled by it because they don't, it never comes up to them that they get a ticket at face value. But the reason he hypothesized, and it seemed right, it was just taxes. If you're going to be giving out these tickets to the teams who are distributing them to friends and families, it's a thing of value. And if it's a thing of value, it gets taxed. So if you're handing someone a $5,000 ticket, that's a big tax bill. If you're handing someone an $800 ticket, it's a smaller tax bill. And the NFL has always liked to say when they're accused of increasing the prices on Super Bowl tickets, well, the face value is $800, $900. So, it's a little shaky given that they're creating a secondary market out there with On Location that is pumping these prices up. But still, the face value is far less.
Right. So this whole thing is fascinating to me. So the teams, out of their 1.2% or 17.5% or whatever, they choose the percentage of those that they're going to sell to one of these secondary market providers, and they decide the amount that they're going to charge them, basically?
Well, the secondary market providers, the ticket brokers, they form relationships with the teams, with individuals, and there are just people who will put up their tickets on the platforms. Another thing the teams do is they form relationships with travel companies, and the travel companies will put together packages, and so they'll be able to sell a package of a ticket, a hotel room, meet and greet with the legend of the team, and maybe a party before the Super Bowl, and they'll charge some exorbitant fee for that $7,000-$8,000. I just saw a package for Super Bowl tickets with a private jet company, and it was, they pick you up, private jet, you get all these parties, the Super Bowl parties, like three or four of them, you get a nice hotel room, you get a tailgate party, you get the tickets to the game and the jet ride home. You know how much that was? $225,000.
Oh man, that's more than I had my whole rookie year.
I'll send you the email, Ross. I know, I'm sure you have lots of people who want to pay that.
That's unbelievable. Do you know anything about like concert tickets or anything like that?
Well, I went online to check that out. They're selling on the secondary market some of these concerts for $400 or $500, which is crazy when you think about 20, 30 years ago, that's what it costs to go to the Super Bowl. To give your listeners an idea of how this has changed with the NFL taking over more of the control of the inventory since 2015, two Super Bowls in Arizona ago, when the Giants played the Patriots, I think it was 2008, the day of the game, you could get into the game at for $500. That's where prices had dropped it by that point. The best you could do to get into the day of the game, pretty much the last 4 or 5 years, is $5,000. It's a completely different animal now. You need thousands and thousands to just get the cheapest seat at the game.
Wow. And what do you attribute that to again?
Well, it's a lot to do with the NFL creating a floor by controlling so much of the inventory with its On Location partner. It's a little complicated to explain, but because they control so much supply and they can create a demand by artificially. If you go to On Location, the cheapest you can get a Super Bowl ticket is $5,000, and that sort of sets the price for the market.
Got it. What about like not at the Super Bowl concerts? Like we mentioned Taylor Swift. Like do you follow that story? Do you know what happened there?
Well, it just seems like I didn't follow it that closely, but it seemed like there was just overwhelming demand, and they put the tickets all on sale at the same time, and they were just overwhelmed, it sounded like.
Yeah. I find that so interesting. Like the whole – and then people were – like immediately it felt like all these secondary markets had them, and they're like crazy expensive.
I think the secondary markets, they have the bots, you know, they put in millions of requests through the computer bots, and they get tickets that way.
Okay. Is that how it works?
You can't do that with Super Bowl tickets because the inventory is controlled by the league. All the tickets are through the league, and they distribute them digitally to, the way I said, 17.5% to the two teams and blah, blah, blah. So it's not like they're all going on sale at Ticketmaster at once. In that case, you'd probably have the same Taylor Swift situation.
Got it. Different teams can be very different in terms of how many tickets each player gets. Have you ever heard about that?
No. I mean, all I know is that they're required to sell one ticket to each player at face value. Whether they decide to give more tickets to the star players, I suppose that probably happens.
Well, so when I was playing, we were able to buy two at face value. Two at face value, each player. What I'm saying, though, is the two teams in the Super Bowl, sometimes I've heard teams where each player gets up to 16 tickets. I've also heard teams where each player gets up to 8 tickets. So the teams themselves decide how many they're going to give to each player and their family.
Yes. I mean, each team has 17.5%. Now, some of that 17.5% under the changes that took place after 2015 go to On Location. The allocation that On Location has comes from the two participating teams in the NFL's position, 25.2% ticket allotment. So I don't know, because they have fewer tickets now, the two teams, if they are a little more parsimonious with how they distribute to the players, but I can certainly see more than one or two tickets going to the players of the two teams.
How how popular is this Super Bowl? Since third time in 4 years for the Chiefs, second time in 5 years for the Eagles, what's it looking like early here for this Super Bowl?
It's looking strong. The average ticket price right now is trading is a little lower than last year, which was near a record high. So it's trading about $7,000-$8,000 right now. The cheapest price is trading at about the mid $5,000 level. So the story I wrote said that the floor price, the cheapest the ticket will get, the experts don't expect that will fall below $5,000 probably ever again because of all the reasons we've been discussing. Because of that, it would take a really bad Super Bowl matchup to see cheaper ticket prices. You'd have to be Jaguars Lions or something like that, where there wouldn't be as perhaps great demand. Had the Cowboys and Bills made the Super Bowl, then the prices would have been off the charts. But generally, this Super Bowl, because the teams of, you know, the Eagles were there 5 years ago, the Chiefs were there just a couple of years ago, the demand is strong, but it's not off the charts.
What are you hearing, if anything, Dan, about potential neutral site championship games?
Well, it's interesting. The man who coined the name Super Bowl, Lamar Hunt, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, he advocated for years. He passed away in 2006, but he advocated for years for neutral site championship games. He thought that the events should be like the Super Bowl. You could bid them out to host cities. You could market them. Fans could treat those games like the Super Bowl, like a big party, something they could plan around. But it never caught on. The other owners didn't like it for all the reasons we've heard currently, which is the teams like the chance to host a championship game. I'm not hearing a great deal that there's enthusiasm for this, but if the NFL were to produce a proposal that showed it could make a lot of money, we know what NFL owners think about profit-making opportunities.
Yes, we absolutely do. Check him out on social media, please. You absolutely should. He's fantastic. At Kaplan Sports Biz. Daniel, thank you so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Good stuff there with Dan Kaplan. You know what else is good stuff? Wine. America's most personalized wine company, First Leaf, takes the guesswork out of wine selection. So my wife and I did this. You take their short taste quiz. You rate the first few wines they send you. So then you have a pretty good feel for what you like, what you don't. After you send that back in, they are able to give you wines that you love, 96% accuracy. So my wife is more the wine person than me. She has been very, very happy so far with the selection she's been getting from First Leaf, which, by the way, has a satisfaction guarantee, which is awesome. Sign up today and you'll get your first six bottles for $39.95 plus free shipping. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/Tucker. That's tryfirstleaf.com/Tucker to get your first six bottles for $39.95 plus free shipping. tryfirstleaf.com/Tucker.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tuck Steaks.
All right, Ross. I need to get you a lozenge. I got a few here if you need one. I'll send them over to you if you need it for next episode. But we'll start off with 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy, who has suffered a torn UCL and is out for 6 months.
So just so you know, and everybody else, I've had tea. I've gargled with salt water. I have a lozenge in. I've sprayed my throat with this stuff. I've done everything you can possibly do. I hate when people say, I need to get you a lozenge. Like, that'll solve it. Like I have tried everything.
My reasoning, I was referencing Hard Knocks. I don't know if you remember that from years ago. I think it was Greg Williams or somebody who was like, I got a lozenge. I need a lozenge. That's my reference.
Okay. All right. What do you got here?
Brock Purdy suffered a torn UCL and is out 6 months.
Man, just brutal. Brutal for him, for the Niners. My biggest comment there was just really impressed by that kid and his toughness, that he went back in that game, even though it was clearly, you know, he tore it and he went back in the game. He even threw two screen passes, which is, I mean, I give him a lot of credit. People say, well, what else was he going to do? Well, what else is he going to do is not go back in the game. I love that kid now. He's like a made guy for me with that toughness.
Tuck Steaks.
Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon says he's coming back to Philadelphia despite all of his head coaching interviews.
It seemed like he was going to get the Broncos job. The Texans job. Not sure what happened there. They decided to go with D'Amico Ryans. They preferred D'Amico. So it looks like Gannon's coming back. I don't know, though. I don't know. Did he interview with the Broncos? I don't know if he did or not. I think they're looking for
last year. He interviewed with them last year. I know that much.
Well, it's new ownership, though. I think they're looking for an offensive guy, right? Like they want to get an offensive guy that can help Russell Wilson, and that makes sense.
Tux takes.
More quarterback injury news where Justin Herbert has had surgery to repair a torn labrum in his left shoulder, or he will have surgery.
I think he did. I think he did have the surgery, and I didn't even know about this. Did you?
I did not know until they had said it afterward that he had suffered it. I mean, that's a true warrior.
I didn't even know he had a shoulder injury. Kudos to him for finding a way to play through that thing and having a pretty darn good year with that torn labrum. And so now he's got to rehab that. At least it's not his throwing arm.
Tux takes.
The Dolphins are expected to hire Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator, although he's taken to Twitter to publicly deny that.
Yeah, I mean, they even had the contract terms, like 3 years, fourth-year option, highest-paid coordinator in the league. I don't know what the deal is there. He spent a lot of time around the Eagles this summer because I was with them, and so was he, everywhere. So, but I expect him to get back in it, so that does not surprise me.
Tux takes.
Something we briefly mentioned on yesterday/this morning's college draft, Georgia quarterback Stetson Bennett was arrested for public intoxication in Dallas.
My initial reaction was there is no way Stetson Bennett got arrested in the state of Georgia for public intoxication. So when I saw it was Dallas, that made a lot more sense to me. There's just no way that they would arrest him for public intoxication in Georgia. I mean, no chance, dude. None whatsoever. But this definitely, just the judgment, decision-making, it's not good for him. What is good for him and you is Peloton. You know about Peloton's bikes. They're awesome. But they got a lot of other stuff going. Treadmills, like my wife uses, all kinds of classes, yoga, strength training, interval training, boxing. I'm a big fan of the fact that you can pretty much do any type of workout you want whenever you want. That's the key. If you have 15 minutes, they have a 15-minute workout. If you have 45, they have a 45-minute workout. Peloton offers thousands of on-demand classes. Their instructors are awesome. The music is amazing. Try Peloton risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only, not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tux takes.
After spending about 5 minutes on the open market, the Chargers hire former Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore as their new OC.
I think I said yesterday morning at 6 a.m. that he'd be hired by the end of the week. He was hired by the end of the day. And deservingly so. I meant everything I said yesterday. I think he's good. And I think the Cowboys fans are really going to regret being a major reason why the Cowboys got rid of him. Cowboys fans were clamoring for him to get out of there. Well, they got what they wanted. Good luck. I think the Chargers offense will be better having Kellen Moore as the OC.
Tux takes.
The salary cap for the 2023 season is expected to be about $224.8 million.
That is like $16 million more, I think, than last year. So good, good bump, good increase, good for the players.
Tux takes.
Adam Berry is leaving Goldman Sachs for an Eagles executive position, per Bloomberg.
He is a Princeton football guy and the twin brother of Andrew Berry, the Browns GM, who went to Harvard. So twin brothers, one went to Harvard, one went to Princeton. And, you know, I think some of these guys love football and they're just like, yeah, Goldman Sachs is fine, but I'm ready for some football. So good for him. I'll be looking forward to talking with him and seeing how he's doing, seeing what role he has. Shout outs, by the way, Pizza Boy Brewing, Sportaculture, HumanHeadNYC.com, SteakhouseSports.com, Go-Bangles.com, Evergreen Economics, Vision Comics with an X, BackOfficeScheduler.com, and MyFrontPageStory.com. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.